92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we take topics and we give you answers ranked in a certain order. It's a list show. Top 5. Rodrigo?
Yes.
Nightmares are not just horses running through your dreams, are they?
But I'm pumped.
No, they're not, I suppose. I wouldn't be very scared of horses.
Okay, have you ever seen an angry horse?
I broke the sack.
Seriously, nightmares.
I love a good pun.
Yes, and that's nothing like a good pun.
it's funny.
They made that joke in Little 1952. Pony Friendship is Magic.
I think that was like 1952 when that joke first surfaced.
Yeah. I wasn't.
Yeah, be careful with it. It's an antique.
Yes, Zach broke it. He laughed too hard. Nightmares, Rodrigo. What are they?
We really should actually celebrate his ability to find joy in even the horriest old cliche.
Watch.
No, don't do it.
Okay.
It's like when you jingle your keys. That's how we keep Zach from realizing that Steven has left the room. We jingle the keys.
A nightmare, Rodrigo.
Oh, a nightmare. Yes. So nightmares are scary dreams that you have. That make you wake up going like this.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're in October. It seems like a scary kind of thing to talk about.
Everything spooky.
Everything spooky is spooky once more. And of course, we know that these are our personal nightmares, not worst case scenario type things.
Right.
But actual dreams that we have had. And I'm just going to get this one out of the way just because it seems relatively cliche. But I have, maybe not so much after my second son was born, but with my first son, the first 4 years that he was around, I had nightmares all the time about awful things happening to him.
Yeah.
And you can fill in the blank about what those awful things are. But needless to say, I would wake up and walk down the hallway to make sure that he was still in his bed and that he was still alive. And I hate those kind of nightmares, and they are horrific. But I haven't had them so much now anymore. I wonder what that means. Mm.
Which means you hate him now.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. I hate my
you
children
no longer
now.
Care for anything.
Little bastard stealing my soul.
Matthew, what do you have as your number 5?
Well, Stephen, my number 5 is exactly the same as yours, only kind of horrifying.
You have terrible dreams about my children being dead?
I do.
They are really cute.
Yeah.
They're very precious children. If you had the nightmares that I have, you would also run all the way to where I live, Matthew, and make sure my children are still alive.
I'm with you, because when probably in the first year or so of her life, Widget was kind of a noisy, snorty baby, and she snored. And there are times when I would wake up and I would go, "There is no noise, i.e. And I would move as quietly and as sneakily as I could. And bear in mind, I am not a snorer. And I would sneak across the hall and just check, you know, watch, and you see the blankets move, and you're good. But the thing that killed it for me, that literally just, I would have the dreams, the terrible dreams. You find, oh, no, whatever. And then I saw the movie 1408.
Oh, yeah, the John Cusack movie.
And in the movie 1408, there is a scene where his daughter comes in. And he's like, oh, my God. And you don't necessarily know at this point until she says, we know something happened, but she says, don't you love me anymore? And this is his dead daughter. And he hugs her. And then she explodes into a cloud of dust. They did a similar thing in a commercial for God of War a year or so ago. Mm. And it always makes me angry because a video game commercial should not bring me to tears. But I had, after seeing 1408, thanks, John Cusack, I had that vivid dream. And I'm just like,
I've never watched John Cusack again, and you, screw you and you're going to say anything. But yes, that mine is exactly the same as yours, except changing, you know, the your sure. two children to my bigger child and adding just, you know, horrifying levels of exploding detail and deadness. So
mine are creepily more realistic than just my kid explodes, you know, that kind of stuff. Oh, so it's just like,
no, I've told you guys, after we've recorded shows,
oh, I'm sorry, I'm out of sorts today. Here's this terrible dream I had last night. So
yeah,
Steven's subconscious is very tortured.
It is.
And I think that's probably a common one for parents.
And that's why I said that's kind of get it out of the way kind of thing.
No matter
I don't know
how
a parent who's not had those dreams.
It may seem in dream or, you know, when you're analyzing it awake and going, oh, it's just my brain being a brain. When that's going on in your head, it is the most terrible thing ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, just utterly devastating. And there are times when, you know, you wake up and you've had that dream and you're like, man, I picked a bad day to give up drinking.
Well, or have you ever had it? And maybe this applies to all of the dreams. In fact, I know in case of one of mine, this is where the dream is so horrific,
mm-hmm.
you can't wake up, right? You're just sitting there going, no, no, no. And then you're like trying to, you know, it's a dream and you're trying to wake up, but you can't. I guess if you're not disturbed by dreams of your dead children, then there's something more wrong with you than you actually having the dreams of your dead children.
I have the problem where I will wake up and I will be conscious and be awake and I'll know that I'm conscious and I'm awake. But the events of that dream are on some level a part of, for lack of a better word, the OS of my brain.
Mm.
I will wake up and I will be doing my normal job in my life and I'll be like doopy doopy doop. And part of my brain will be remembering that dream and going, that was real. This actually happened. Horrible, horrible things actually happening. And there are times when, you know, you have that and you're like, to the point where you have to actually go in and touch the child and go, okay, yep. Child, good.
Yep.
Before you can even go back to bed.
There have been a couple of times because my oldest rolls around a lot. There have been a couple of times where I've walked into the room and just thought the foot of the bed was the sheets kicked down, the bedspread kicked down, and I'm feeling all over the bed, and I can't find him in the bed. And then I go and find my wife. I'm like, where's he at? And she's like, he's in bed. I'm like, no, he's not. And go back in there, and I'll go in. I'll have to turn on the light, and there he is at the foot of the bed all curled up in the bedspread. I'm like, oh, God, thank you. Rodrigo, what do you have as your number five?
My number five doesn't involve children at all.
Good.
Yay. Thank you.
My number five is actually more of a condition, I guess. Okay. So very frequently I have this dream where I'm very thirsty
mm-hmm.
and I keep like not being able to get a glass of water. And then when I do get a glass of water and I drink it, it is not satisfying at all. My thirst doesn't go away. And that usually happens when I go to bed thirsty. Like if I eat something really salty.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm actually literally thirsty, but I'm so tired that it doesn't wake me up. So I'm just like walking around like, and it's not even like I'm at a desert or something like that. I'm in somebody's house. I'm like at a friend's house. I'm like, hey, you got some water I can drink? And they're like, yeah, it's in the fridge. And I open it. It's like, there's no water in this fridge.
And, you know, given that your entire diet pretty much consists of cocktail peanuts and, you know, the rim of margarita glasses.
Yeah, pretty much.
That can be problematic.
Yeah, it's rough.
I like sugar on my glasses instead of salt, but that's just me.
That's my young friend. Oh. You have so much to learn.
Also, Zach prefers...
My worst nightmare is Zach continues like this
for
the rest of his life.
Zach's preferred drink is a chocolate martini without the martini.
There you go.
I like chocolate.
Yoo-hoo and grapefruit juice.
Zach, what do you got for your number five?
My number five is kind of... There was a specific dream, but I have these nightmares where... It's essentially when I'll be being chased by someone looking to do me harm with some type of weapon, namely generally like a gun or a knife. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be running, and I can't get away. Like I'm in some maze, but then I'll eventually wake up and like, oh, okay. Oh, that was scary. Now I go back to sleep and then I'm back in that stupid dream again. And I'm still running and I'm running. And that happens the rest of the night. And my number five are those dreams where I'm running away from someone and then I get out of it by waking up, which should save me. But then I sleep again and I'm back in the stupid dream.
Interesting. Be quiet, Matthew. That's scary.
And your mom's
Speaking of number four, now we're going to start getting into dreams, or at least a couple of dreams that are recurring dreams for me. And I remember the earliest age I remember this dream was when I was like 2 or 3. And I know because of the house that I lived in at the time, so I can kind of measure dreams by then. Then another one when I was, same dream, between 7 or 8. And then another one, I think when I was probably in middle school. So at least 3 times I've had this nightmare.
Every 4 years.
Basically. But it stopped basically when I got into high school. Haven't had the dream since then. But I am riding in the back of a car with my grandparents. And we're all having a grand old time. And we're driving and we're driving and we're driving. And we're going up this big overpass, you know, the bridge that goes over the top of the road. And it's really high. And suddenly there is no more road. And we just launch off the top of that. And we're falling. Oh. And I'm like kind of freaking out in the back seat. And my grandparents are just laughing and going, no, it's okay. And instead of, you know, plummeting, we're just kind of floating until we get into the bottom of this big basin. And I'm like looking out the window going, whew, thank goodness we're okay. And I turn around and no one is in the car. No one else is in the car but me. And then I start freaking out because I'm all alone. Right. And then a giant brontosaurus head comes down in front of the car and is just opening its mouth and starting to eat the car with me inside. And that's about the time where I always wake up. Wow. But it's always a brontosaurus. It's not a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's not a scarier, you know, dinosaur. It's just always a big brontosaurus head coming down. And then I'm always like, ah, and wake up.
You can as it starts to eat your car, you just keep screaming at it how it's an incorrect taxa.
Yes, exactly.
You don't even exist.
But I don't know, and that's always been one of the weirdest nightmares that I've had, ones that actually jolt me awake, mm-hmm. and that I've had multiple times, and it's always that same scenario, riding in the car with the grandparents, although each of the times it's a different car. But it always
depending on the
year and make and model. Year. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like it starts out like a 70s Datsun.
It is actually like if I remember correctly, the very first time I had it, it was like a station wagon. Mm-hmm. And back when Matthew and I were young, there were no such thing as seatbelt laws. Right. So if you had the station wagon, you were actually rolling around in the back of that station wagon.
Right.
And that's where I was. So I could look out that window and see the basin that we were sitting in, and then this big dinosaur coming after me and trying to eat the car.
And, you know, the disturbing part is I've met Steven's Grandpa Loki and Grandma Coyote. And
they
I've
are tricksters.
Had nightmares about them myself.
Yes. What is your number four, Matthew?
My number four, I actually, it's really kind of eerie because I had this discussion 2 days ago at work, or actually yesterday at work, before Steven said this is what the thing was. And everyone in the room said, oh God, I hate that dream. All right, it happens to me roughly every fall. It's a seasonal dream because it's tied to the fact that I don't know where my classes are. Mm-hmm. And I'm at Fort Hays State University. I don't know who my classes are. I don't know where I'm going. I know it's like halfway through the semester and I need to get there because I've missed too much of the class already. And I can't drop it at this point because it's all too far gone. And it's this huge school anxiety dream. And I am 42 years old. I have not been in school I probably should have stayed longer because math is hard, but I went to that school for 7 years. I'm no dummy. I can tell you right now, I don't know why I have this dream, but I always have this dream or variations of it. And it usually features Lance Lippert, who was my class advisor for the first year of college. But it's incredibly disturbing because I know I'm going to fail. And I'm sure that that's exactly what it's all about, is that, you know, that generalized fear of failure. But my God, it is horrifying just rushing around and trying to get all the way over to Pickin Hall before the class ends. But I don't know if it's in Pickin Hall and it's horrible.
I think that kind of dream is really a recurring nightmare for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I've had those recently where it's like I'm late for a meeting and can't get to the meeting. Mm-hmm. But I think lately I've not had those because I don't care what happens at this place anymore. And, you know,
six people in a room with me yesterday, and we all have had variations of that dream. And my boss, who's my age or a little younger, says to me, and I always wake up and feel like dream me as a dumbass. And I'm like, why is that? He's like, because I've got the class schedule in my hand. Can't I read it? And I'm like, no, I can never read in dreams. And everybody looked at me like I was a freak. But that's not the point. The scary, scary class dream. Super, super scary.
Cool. What do you have, Rodrigo, for your number four?
Same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. It, of course, the school is different.
You don't go to Fort Hays State University?
I do not go to Fort Hays. Usually,
Lance Lifford's not chasing you down the hallway with a big stick.
Although, granted, if I had a dream in which I ended up at Fort Hays State University, I would be extra scared.
That would have made the list.
Yeah.
But I'm bumped.
No. It's a fine. It's a fine school.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, I'm either late for a final, or I didn't study, or I've got like too many finals in one day, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like the actual particulars of it vary, but it's always something like that.
Zach, is that also your number four?
It is not.
Okay, what do you have for your number four?
My number four is...
I run out of strawberry quick.
Is a dream in which... I don't know what that means.
More candy bracelets at the store.
Oh. I woke up in my parents' house in my bedroom. In this dream, I woke up. And there was two snakes in my room. Which is already enough to make the list, because I hate snakes with a weird passion. And so I go to the bathroom because I have to pee. That's what I do when I wake up in the morning. And there's like eight rattlesnakes in there. And so now I can't pee and there's snakes everywhere. That's it. That's horrible.
That's the two worst things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
You don't try to pee on the snakes?
No, I try to get away from the snakes.
If you pee on the snakes, that will enrage them.
Yeah, and they'll try to bite you.
Exactly.
And they're rattlesnakes, Steven. That's not good. Yeah. You can only get that venom once.
Do you hear the rattles?
Do I hear the rattles?
In the dream?
I don't recall.
How do you know they're rattlesnakes?
Because I grew up in Western Kansas.
Touche.
Have you had this dream more than once?
Nope.
Just once?
Yep.
But is enough to terrify you?
Yeah.
Do you remember how old you were?
I was probably about 16.
Interesting.
So last week?
I hate snakes.
I wonder, as we go through this list, and this is a bigger discussion point, but somebody I'm sure out there will pop up and talk about how at different ages you will experience different types of dreams, mm-hmm. like the anxiety dream or the abandonment dream or the
weird
phallic
stuff
symbols all over the bathroom.
Well, and type of dream. I would like to thank Zach for being the first one to have the massive Freudian symbology in his dream. So I don't realize that
Steven keeps getting eaten by a brontosaurus.
A giant
right?
brontosaurus.
Okay, so good point. It, what I'm really saying is glad it wasn't me.
Yeah.
But more than that, I think that there are a lot of different schools of dream analysis. Cogwise. And each one is probably equally valid, which is to say that they're all probably equally invalid. But I think that, you know, if you really, really break it down, eight rattlesnakes in the can is terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
Terrifying. And the fact that there's specifically eight of them. I mean, it's like the Ouroboros.
That dream has spawned much fear in my life of finding snakes in my house now.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. No, I never have.
Have you ever looked up Kundalini dreams?
Uh-uh.
Okay, you might want to look up Kundalini dreams. Snakes and dreams aren't necessarily bad.
Oh, no, yeah. They're bad. In my life, because I'm like, we have a closet underneath our stair in our house.
That's where Zach lives.
Yep. We actually call it our Harry Potter room. We just put our random crap in there. Every time I open the door to try to find something, I'm just positive there's a snake in there. No reason. Never find a snake anywhere close to our house. We're the first people to ever live there, but I am convinced every time I open the door, there's going to be a snake in there.
And it's going to hand you a hand.
We are going to have to get with Zach's future wife
in the house?
and have her load that closet up with the springy snakes so that when he does open that, they all jump out at him.
I found a snake in our house when I was in high school.
And you left immediately.
I grabbed it by the head and I took it and I threw it outside the same way I would if I caught any other kind of pest that didn't immediately make me want to kill it. It wasn't like, it was like a little white garter snake or something. Nope. It wasn't even really a snake. It was a freaking shoelace. But it was horrifying.
You know, Zach, where I used to live, we used to get...
You had to be aware of the jaguars.
Ghost scorpion.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, we used to get... No, the jaguars mostly stayed outside.
Oh, okay. They didn't come into the house, hang out on top of the ceiling fan, waiting to bounce.
Yeah, the ceiling fan just like spinning around. That was the only way that you could get away from it, because it sits on the ceiling fan waiting for you. And when it tries to pounce, it's really dizzy. So it just totally... It stumbles around the room. It's seeing double, so he just
always jumped at the left.
Yeah.
Always jumped at the left, Rodrigo.
Pounces at the wrong one.
That left, Rodrigo, always unfortunate.
And then I just grab it by the head and throw it outside.
Oh dear.
Number three.
Dear amateur dream people, you're welcome.
My number three.
Psychology students are out there just looking.
Oh, I know. That's why I said people are going to analyze the heck out of us. Go ahead. That's fine. These are just nightmares that we have had. Though it may not look it now, I was quite the runner in middle and high school. Mm-hmm. And I continue, or for a while, again, I think since my kids have been born, well, maybe in the last 10 years, I haven't had this dream as much. But I have this dream where I'm running. And I just can't keep up with everyone. And so I start running on all fours. So it's like almost running, crawling. And it has the same way when I'm running upstairs where I'm literally using my hands to help propel me. And that's I still am not like moving faster. And it just is different situations. It could be I'm late for a meeting. It could be I'm actually at a track meet. It could be or whatever. But it's that little theme that pops up that just startles me awake. And it's like, oh, that just makes me very uncomfortable and... off-putting for the rest of the week or the day or whatever.
I know
it's not very scary, but it is to me.
Because you're just not able to keep up.
Yeah. I don't know if that would be a nightmare.
You take it in that dream logic where it's so realistic.
Yeah.
That's just, oh.
It was either that or my Planet of the Apes dream, so. Yeah. Planet of the Apes is way scarier, but also not on this list.
Steven just doesn't want someone to tell him he's so damned ugly. And that's how the dream starts, baby. Yeah.
He has a fear of the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
Ever since Escape from the
Moon. Spoilers.
Ghostbusters must have been horrible for you.
That's Ghostbusters too, but well played.
Whatevs.
Oh, this is not such a depressing downer episode. It's got a lot of laughs in it.
We'll get there.
Oh, yeah. Matthew, how about your number three?
My number three. It reminds me of the first time I went to see the psychologist and he showed me the ink blot. And I'm like, hey, where'd you get that picture of my mom making fun of me? Number three is a weird dream because, unlike Steven, I have never been in any way athletic. I have, for a long time, however, read superhero comics. And you would think that that would mean that I might have a dream where I am a superhero. Well, no, you are incorrect. But I did have a dream, and the context was unclear. I don't really know if it was there was some sort of person or creature or item that was shooting needles at people. And I knew instinctively with that dream logic that the needles were paralytic, poisonous, horrible things, and if you get hit by a needle, you die. And I remember this being a very long, kind of epic Tom Cruise dream where people around me kept getting hit by the needles and kept falling and dying. And I thought, you know, I was doing well and I was dodging and running and being all superhero-y and it was pretty awesome. And I remember the dream is at the point where the music would go dun, 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 dun in a movie. I'm getting to that point, right? And I have dodged the last one and I stop. And I know I'm safe, and I turn and I look on my arm. And on my left arm, I see one of the needles has hit me and stuck me in the arm. And this is one of the few times I actually woke myself up screaming And I don't necessarily do that. I mean, I do talk in my sleep reportedly, but I don't necessarily ever have that, you know, the cliche moment of waking up screaming. I had thought previous to this dream that that was all just kind of, oh, that's TV talk. But I actually screamed myself awake from the dream because I had been hit by this needle. I don't know what it was or why. I mean, I'd like to say it was awesome, something alien-y or something, but I didn't have any of that. I just had that instinctive knowledge that the needles are bad. Get away from the needles. And it was really terrifying. And even talking
does that
about
mean that
it
when
right
you go
now,
to the when you go to the hospital, do you have a fear of needles?
Oh, not in the least. Oh,
okay.
But it, right now, it's actually my heart is racing a little bit thinking back to that because your mind processes that dream state the same way it would a memory. And my brain is like, oh, that was scary. That was totally scary, man. No, I don't have any problem with needles. I went in and I got my flu shot at work the other day and they had to use the big needle because they gave me the four kinds. And also, you know, there was a lot of fatty tissue. And the nurse was really sweet because, you know, she was like, we have a lot of sebaceous tissue. And I'm like, it's okay. I know I'm fat. But she hit me with the needle, no problem. But in this dream, being hit was literally terrifying. One of the scariest things I can remember. One, he said at number three, of the scariest things I can remember.
Have you guys ever woke up screaming from a dream?
Yeah. I don't think so.
I didn't think I ever did. But a few years ago, and I don't even remember what the dream was, All my wife would say was, all of a sudden she woke up and I'm screaming, trying to climb up the wall, screaming there, get him away from me, get him away from me, get him away from me. And she had to yell and scream to get me to wake up. And she goes, and I could not even remember. I barely even remember her trying to wake me up before I just went back to sleep.
A lot of times.
And that's the only time that I know I've ever woken up screaming from a dream. A lot of times I've woken up and gone, whoa, but not literally screaming like that, trying to climb the walls.
I woke up screaming from my number one.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, yeah. We'll get there.
Zach will find out, because I think that a lot of times you don't find out that you've awakened yourself by screaming until there's someone else in the bed.
Yeah. And that may be it too. Yeah.
So, you know, once you actually start liking girls, we'll explain that to you as well.
That'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
What have you got for your number three nightmare, Rodrigo?
My number three nightmare is titled, Someone's a Werewolf.
The Howling 2.
Is it you?
Colon.
No, it's usually not me. It's usually somebody else. And I have had this dream since I was a little tiny baby child. Like as far back as I can remember, I've had this dream where somebody, usually in my family, sometimes like a friend or, you know, somebody else, a coworker or something, is a werewolf. It's late at night. Everybody knows that this person's a werewolf. They know they're a werewolf. I know they're a werewolf. And it's like, and I'm like, shouldn't you be getting someplace where you won't eat me? And they're like, no, I got time. Like, seriously, that's the dream. And it's horrifying because I'm like, it's like partially I'm like, well, this person's going to turn into a werewolf and kill me.
Right.
Partially, I don't want to be rude.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, you should go, like, tie yourself up to something. It's like, oh, no, I've got time. Don't worry about it. Like, I remember one time I had a dream that I think my sister was a werewolf. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is the title of one of the Howling movies.
I was going to go there.
And she was like specifically following me around the house. And I'm like, you are going to turn into a werewolf and kill me. And she was just like, and I must have been really young.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's like, and it's weird.
At the end of the dream, do they start to turn and then you wake up?
I usually wake up before things pan out.
And you've had this dream multiple times?
I've had this dream multiple times.
Have you gotten to the point now where you know it's a dream?
I actually haven't had the dream in a long time.
Oh, okay.
I think I had it enough times, but I think this may at this point have been a childhood dream.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, like, probably when I started going to college, it finally went away.
Mm-hmm.
But it was replaced by other frightening things.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like being late for class.
There you go.
Did you ever realize that in one of the dreams you were in London?
I did not. Because that wouldn't work.
No?
Because then I would be a Mexican werewolf in London.
Darn it.
the best kind, right? Yeah. Zach, what do you have for your number three?
My number three was a dream, a nightmare, if you will. When I was a child, slide iPad, jeez. When I was younger, I got into some of the R.L. Stein books.
Ooh, I'm already got goosebumps.
Yeah, scary times, people. And so I had a dream one time. I don't remember if I was... I wouldn't have been living in Colby, but the dream took place in the house that I lived in good old Colby, Kansas, the Oasis of the Plains.
Oasis of the Plains.
Don't worry. There was a giant gorilla statue there, though, at the travel station. Whatever. So,
that is scary. Yeah. Oh, please don't. Stop, Zach.
Yeah. Walk into the house I lived in, and my parents are gone. But all of these creepy monsters from R.L. Stein books had decided to come to my house. But the weird thing was...
Oh, that might have been the Futurama thing. But that's kind of how the Goosebumps thing went, too.
There was a theme?
Continue. Yeah, for sure.
Didn't you watch the TV show?
Goosebumps show.
I just read the book.
You didn't realize that there was a Goosebumps show?
Well, you have to track it down. It is awful.
It was a Saturday morning cartoon, but not a cartoon, but a Saturday morning show in late 90s?
Gotta be.
Huh.
Go look it up. R.L. Stein's Goosebumps.
No, that's fine.
So there's the puppet master guy.
I don't remember. Only thing I remember is, upon reflection, none of these monsters were scary. They were all really weird.
Yeah.
The one monster I remember... I don't remember why this one is the only one I remember, but he took out the switch for the light switch and decided to put his giant nose through the hole so I couldn't turn the light on.
Oh, so you were just like tickling his nose?
Yeah, pretty much. And so there was just all these weird monsters hanging out in my house. It was scary at the time, but it's kind of funny now.
Yeah.
But that's all. That's all the dream is. Just weird, non-scary monsters hanging out in my house when I was a little.
A lot of the time... like a lot of dreams that I've had didn't make it into this list because they were frightening at the time, and then in retrospect, I just thought they're just stupid or whatever. Yeah.
There are a number like on my list like that. Planet of the Apes one is like that. Do you guys like scary dreams? Since about the age of 35, I kind of thrive on the scary dream to where. It's kind of like I wake up and I'm all panicky and jittery and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, the aliens chasing me from the movie Aliens that's actually kind of cool.
Sometimes,
or is, you know, the zombie dreams that I always have.
Sometimes I have awesome action dreams that seem to have so much at stake,
right?
That they are scary intense, but like I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if it's just that I'm actually like I actually studied film or whatever, but a lot of the time when I'm having those dreams, I'm also an actor in the movie that is those dreams. Or like watching myself as an actor and also being the character in the movie that is those dreams.
Even your dreams are metatext.
Exactly. So it's difficult even in the and then you know, I pull back as a viewer of the dream and I'm like, this dream wasn't scary at all. I could tell that I was not in any peril at any point.
You could see the strings on that one monster.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say I like scary dreams, but there's an experience to it, and I liken it to the love-hate relationship I have with Toto's 99. Because there's a point in that song where it goes minor key and the piano is playing. And I'm literally just emotionally drained. I feel like I've been crushed. I'm heartbroken. The song just puts me in such a, you know, Thursday afternoon and it's raining in September kind of mood. It's so melancholy, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there are times when I seek that out. And I think that the scary dream, there are times when, you want to seek that out. That's why I watched, Paranormal Activity, was to have that moment of, this is scary.
And I think that's with me with the zombie dreams. You know, I've talked a bit at length about those, but it's almost to the point now it's like, even though it's scary, it's kind of a lot of fun to have that kind of a dream.
See, I think you guys are all weird because I hate them.
Zombie dreams?
No.
Or just nightmares? Oh, okay. Nightmares. Well, you know, some of them are truly terrifying, like my number two. Again, one that I've had multiple times, each with a little bit of a different bit to it. So I'm walking down this kind of maze basement hallway with my mother, right? So I'm a little kid, and we're walking and we're looking, we're trying to find an exit or something. And I always remember, because this is the thing that strikes me about the dream every time, we're passing like an alcove area where like my uncle and his wife are sitting on the couch watching TV and they're just ignoring us. And we're just walking, like, they don't even know that we're there. We walk right in front of the TV and they don't even see us. And we keep walking, we turn this corner, and suddenly there's like three doors. And I'm always like, Mom, don't open that door. That's the door we're not supposed to open. Mom, don't open that door. And she opens the door and turns the light on. And the first time that I had this dream, it was werewolf. It was Lon Chaney's werewolf. And just starts chasing us. And I'm running. I just leave my mom behind. I'm just booking back down the hallway which we came. And the werewolf is chasing me. And then it's like all of a sudden, my uncle and his wife who are sitting on the couch don't freak out because I'm running. They freak out because the monster is coming after them. And they're like grabbing a hold of each other like you see in a Three Stooges comedy. And then I wake up. Second time, Frankenstein monster. Third time, the mummy. Which, you know, in hindsight, wow, didn't really have to run as fast with the mummy.
Were your dreams sponsored by Universal Studios?
It would, you know, they probably should start sponsoring my dreams at that point. But it was very funny that they were. And again, at the times that I was having those dreams were probably times, and I remember second grade, somebody had brought a movie monster film magazine thing. So I'd seen that, and of course I was watching some of the stuff on the Friday afternoon movie or the, you know, the afternoon movie where they'd have monster week. So it'd come up every once in a while where those monsters are there and they just trigger those nightmares. But they were always scary because as soon as I got past my aunt and my uncle and they're holding on to each other going, oh, you know, like this is the end of the world kind of look on their face. I always woke up after that because it's like, ooh, monsters. So, you know, Mom, you got to listen to me when I tell you to do stuff. Yeah. Otherwise, monsters are going to get us.
Don't open the door, Mom.
All right, Matthew, you're number two. And you're right. In hindsight, these are all sounding kind of silly and ridiculous, don't they?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, these dreams are vampires.
But they're all personal,
terrifying.
Right?
Right, right.
They're terrifying at night, but they simply cannot stand the daylight, which is why my number two, which occasionally pops up, but recently, very recently, like in the year 2013, and I think probably since the summer, this dream popped up in utterly, utterly devastating, like I've been hit by Randy Orton's finishing move fashion.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible. It is a terrible nightmare. And what it is the girl and my brain being your brain. Sometimes your dreams aren't necessarily representational. So the girl is not necessarily my wife or my lost love or my first girlfriend or Victoria from How I Met Your Mother. And yet she is all of those things at the same time. And she is telling me how it's over and how she doesn't love me anymore. And we're breaking up and that's all. And there's no discussion. And it's not a scary dream, but it's an awful, awful dream. And it's the most, just the most crushing thing ever. And when this happened this summer, I actually woke up and I literally moped around for like a day and a half because I had been dumped in a dream by this girl who doesn't exist.
By your TV girlfriend.
Well, it wasn't my TV girlfriend necessarily. It was like the composite of all the women who have ever meant anything to me, which would include my TV girlfriend. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily triggered by or representational of my imaginary girlfriend or my wife or, you know, any of the 14 girls that I may or may not have dated and or married over the last few years. 14 is a random number. I made that up. But that's not the point. It's that rejection by the Uber girl. And it's just awful. It's one of the worst dreams that I've ever had. And it's a dream that I've had, I wouldn't say recurring because it's never quite the same, but it's a recurring theme. And honestly, it, with the exception of my number one, which we'll get to in a few moments, it is the most, I think, common and the most far-reaching recurring theme because I remember this dream into high school.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's horrifying, terrifying. I cannot stand when that dream happens. And the worst part was when it happened this summer, I woke up and occasionally my wife will wake up and be mad at me for something that happened in a dream because I did something douchey in a dream. She asked me what was wrong. I was half asleep and I told her that I had a dream that I was dumped by an imaginary girl. And so the whole time I was, you know, moping around the house, my wife was mocking me, like openly mocking me about how my girlfriend dumped me and how I'm really sad. And she told the widget, she's like, be nice to daddy. His imaginary girlfriend dumped him. I'm just like, oh, you are awful, awful woman. And yet, you know, it's good that she has that sense of humor because it's one of those dreams that in the wrong context could really irritate your significant other.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you say
been there,
me,
done that.
Was that my wife? No. I mean, yes, but no. And also,
those are the ones where you don't tell your wife. It's always best not to say those kinds of things.
Dude, if you're ever around me,
I had a dream that I cheated on you last night, and I feel real bad about that. Yeah.
Well,
then you're
and generally,
in trouble.
People don't necessarily believe me. But when I come on the show, people are like, gosh, sometimes you're enthusiastic and goofy and stupid, and we hate you. And I'm like, fine with that. That's my life. I am kind of enthusiastic and goofy and stupid, and people hate me. When I am, like, depressed or upset about something to the point where it actually shows, it concerns the people around me.
Yeah.
Now, one of my coworkers was like, you just don't feel like yourself today. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. An imaginary girl broke up with me in my sleep.
Toto was on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible.
Rodrigo, what do you have for your number two?
I can't take it no more. Now I'm depressed.
My number two is really only my number two and not my number one, because the number one is actually a little bit of a better story.
Okay.
But this one might actually be scarier.
Okay.
So this is what happened. It was late at night. I got into bed, trying to get some sleep. I couldn't really get very much sleep. I started to fall asleep a little bit. You know, that kind of thing where you like drift.
Yeah.
And then something got into the bed with me.
Uh-oh.
The Phyllis Diller dream. I hate that one.
You know, keep listening.
Oh, sorry.
So this person, pretty sure was a woman, had like very scratchy like hair, like arms and legs, and I was wearing like shorts, so I could feel like her legs like basically climbing up on me and stuff. And I'm just like being like, what the hell is happening? And I start screaming and this thing grabs onto me and just screams the most ungodly shriek and then it's gone.
Yeah. A banshee dream or riding the witch or whatever they call it.
A hag.
That sounds like the worst
nightmare
thing
paralysis. I've had those before.
Yeah.
There was a nightmare paralysis one that I had one time where I woke up and I could swear that there was someone in the room and I could not move. And I kept trying to open my mouth and scream and scream and scream. And finally, as soon as I could go, who's there? Then, of course, it was all broken and there was nobody there. And then I was even more scared. And now I'm scared again.
Yep. Nope. Yeah. That happens. And here's the thing. That is probably the most intense one of those I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But I very frequently have, I really hope, dreams in which I'm just lying down and I start to wake up because something is patting me on the head. Like something is like caressing me on the head.
It is freaky.
It is freaky.
And that's only your number two.
That's only my number two.
I hate
the old hag dreams.
I don't have those dreams, but I had one where I had a high fever and my wife's robe was hanging from the back of the door and the door was open and the robe looked like a person standing in the door frame watching me. And I was, you know, I had a high fever, couldn't wake up necessarily I wasn't 100% conscious. And I kept sort of waking up and seeing it and freaking out and then falling back asleep and waking up and seeing it and freak.
Zach, you've never had a hag dream?
That is like, I'm like awake right now. That dream is just freaking me out. I'm just thinking about it.
If it ever happens to you, it is one of the scariest things you'll ever experience.
Yeah.
It is terrifying to And I've had those same things happen.
Some people, it's a medical condition.
Right, right, right.
I mean, some people have these sorts of dreams all the time where there's something sitting on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh. It's the medical term is nightmare paralysis or nighttime paralysis.
I've heard of that when you like wake up at a certain point and you can't move.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of people will experience either an alien or an old woman on top of them,
or like an ugly dwarf monster or something like that. The scariest part about it is
so many people have it.
It's not just that so many people have it, but that so many of them are similar. You know, so many of them are either a hag or a dwarf or an alien.
Mm-hmm.
That's really weird. I shouldn't even give my last two because they're not even close to that.
Oh, wait, you haven't heard my number one. And you haven't heard Rodrigo's number one.
That's right, or Matthew's.
You haven't heard Matthew's number one. No. But, Zach, what is your number two?
My number two. Wow, this is just not even scary anymore.
They canceled the Care Bears.
The Care Bears, Steven. The Care Bears were off the air by the time Zach was born.
That's why it's so terrifying.
Yeah. Care Bears were off the air by the time you were born.
That's true. I mean, they almost were, certainly.
So in my dream, I have been taken captive by pirates. And they don't like me, so they're going to make me walk the plank. So they tie my hands up behind my back, tie my legs, and throw me into the water. Yeah, push me off the plank, make me go into the water. So one, I don't like being restricted, like not being able to move my body at all. That freaks me out in real life.
Yeah.
Suffocating or drowning terrifies me. So already in a bad place in the water. But then what happens? A shark. A shark comes, and it eats me. So I don't suffocate, but a shark just eats me. The last thing I remember seeing in the dream is just like the water filling up with my blood.
Wow.
And then I woke up.
Oh,
very cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really expected you to say like, and then a shark shows up, but then a brontosaurus eats it.
Hey, I was three. Come on.
That was a pretty young dream. I don't remember how young, but I was probably in elementary school or junior high.
Did you maybe correlate it to like having like fallen asleep on your arm and that's what like you felt like you couldn't move
your arms?
Probably, but I kind of like that when it happens and I wake up and I can just like throw my arm everywhere and I can't feel it. I kind of like that. Oh, Until then you start getting the feeling that it hurts and then I just yell.
Your future wife will also enjoy that as well.
Start flailing around. Girls like that.
Oh man, we are down to our number ones. Are you ready for this, Zach?
Well, I'm actually really
you
scared.
You may have heard.
I'm actually really scared.
You may actually have heard this one because this is
You want to check the tape before
we haven't been recording this entire thing.
That's about par for the course.
Yes, for this episode, especially this story. And for those listeners who have heard Major Spoilers Podcast 278, the Lost episode.
Make sure you're backing this one.
Yes. Well,
I wasn't on the podcast when that happened, but I remember when you found part of it.
Oh, yeah,
I remember when that happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so check this out. So I'm having a dream where I'm flying in an old airplane, an older airplane. I don't know the model, but it's an old airplane. It's like wintertime. It is cold outside. In the plane, there's like maybe eight other people in the plane with me. I'm sitting in the seat behind the front seat, so there's the pilot and some old guy sitting in the seat in front of me. And then all of a sudden, the plane starts going down. And you know how in your dreams, people say, you know, if you're crashing and you hit the ground, you die in your dream. Well, unlike the car over the bridge where we float down, I am in this plane experiencing the whole, we're going down at gravity plus airspeed. And we crash. And you would think in the dream that I'd wake up. You know, just wake up from the dream, and that's the dream. But in this case, it's almost like when you black out when someone hits you really hard. So I black out in the dream. I literally black out. Mm-hmm. And then I start to come to in the dream, and I'm staring face-to-face with this old man who was in the seat in front of me. He's looking at me. He's all bloody. He's laying there. I can't hear the voices of anyone else, and I just hear him going, "Help me. Help me. Help me." And at that point, I just wake up because that was so terrifying that I'm alive in this plane crash because I'm buried under rubble, too. And I'm twisted and laying there and looking face to face in this guy. And The only thing I remember is I remember this old guy's face because he's right in front of my face, right?
Yeah.
And the only other thing that I remember is this flight number of the plane. And the flight number was flight 599. And I had this dream, and it's one of those, like Matthew said, you are bothered for days after this dream because I don't know what's going on with this at all. But I knew this flight 599. I was like, well, I just wonder if there was ever any real record of a flight 599. Mm-hmm. And I go and I look and I do a search for a flight 599 that actually crashed, small plane in the 1930s in Kansas. I think it's Bazaar, Kansas or Bazaar, Kansas.
Bazaar,
Kansas,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I look at the list of people that were on that plane, about eight of them. One of them being, what was he, football coach? Football coach Newt Rockne. Some people may know that name, some people may not. But I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know Newt Rockne. I've heard the stories of him. I've seen the movies, etc. And then I go and I look for a picture of Newt Rockne. And guess what, Zach? Mm-mm. That was the old guy in that plane going, help me, help me. Plane crashed in 1930, in 1931, I think, is when it crashed.
And then when Steven found a photograph of the people before they left the plane, there he was, there wearing was a suit, right. Holding up a drink.
Wearing my plutonium suit. But yeah, it's really crazy and creepy. I've never looked to, you know what? I have never looked to see, find pictures of the other people who were on that flight.
I recommend that you don't.
Don't do it now.
Oh, and now you've put that bug in my brain. What would that mean?
Exactly.
What would happen?
Steven, you know what happens when you open that weird door.
Hey, look at that weird
Rob thing. Is standing there.
Hey, guys. Sorry I was late.
Ride.
I'm awake.
Zach,
every
that
week.
Is the... Now, Matthew and Rodrigo have already heard this story in a much longer form on that one particular episode of the Major Spoiler Podcast, but it is the freakiest dream I have ever had where... And again, people have said, oh, well, you've picked up these little things over the years and your brain is just mashing them together into this one event. But it was too coincidental and too terrifying.
And I'm assuming you've never really read about that.
No,
previous.
No, that's why I didn't even know how Newt Rockne died.
Sure.
I knew the name. I didn't know the face. Maybe I'd seen the face in passing.
Sure.
But I didn't know about how he died in a plane crash. I didn't know the flight number or any of that stuff. And then it pops up in that dream.
That's really weird. What if it's like a Cloud Atlas-like situation where that was...
No, what if I go and look and there is somebody that looks just like me, just like,
don't
you know, the theories of Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks and Johnny Storm. The Rock.
Nicolas Cage,
are time travelers where they've gone back and found like Civil War portraits of people that are spitting images of both of them.
For a moment there, you were just like saying random things. And I was frightened.
Yeah, that's my nightmare. Yeah. Random words. Everybody just starts shouting out random words. Still not awake. Still not awake. Wouldn't that be creepy, though? Rodrigo, if you went and looked, and there's someone that looked remarkably like me.
Do it. Don't. You guys are in a basement together. So when the scary thing happens, you can throw Zach to the monster and run like hell.
I'm not kidding. After Rodrigo's dream, I've just been looking over my shoulder the rest of the night.
In the dark.
What do you have? What do you have for your number one, Matthew? Here's the picture. Do I look at it?
No.
Yes.
Do we see it? Not during the show.
I am hanging up. La, 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 la. I'm not listening.
Okay, Matthew, you're number one.
My number one is less a dream than it is a location in a dream. And I don't really know how to describe it, except in as much as I described that composite woman who now hates me. There have been,
I'm kind of a student of terribly scary architecture, and I grew up in Western Kansas where there are lots of abandoned churches and abandoned collapsing houses. And actually, right now, the building that I work in is kind of
abandoned.
Well, no, the building that neither here nor there, the building that I work in, my portion of the building, the four-story portion that I had, is the original 1870 Fava-Fava building. And if you go down into the basement, there's steam tunnels underneath that you can travel from place to place without being above ground. So you can take a shortcut to certain areas. And this is kind of like that. I used to live next door to a huge, sprawling house that was made of limestone and rotting wood. And parts of it were falling apart. And in my dream, it is clearly partly that house, but it's also not. And in this house, there are endless walls and stairwells and caverns and basements. And there is nothing more terrifying than being in a dream and being in one of those stairwells or going down the stairs into one of those basements, because they're always pitch black. They're always dark. And I always know it's the house. It's the capital H house. And there's a particular just recurring moment where I'll be standing in what feels like the living room of a house I lived in 1995 on 4th Street in Hayes. And you go through a stairwell where there should be a kitchen. And what you find is this endless maze of stairways going up into the dark. And they're all rickety and they all have, you know, loose boards and no railings, and everything is, I'm scared right now talking about this, by the way, just endless places to go, but you never want to go there. And if you do go there, bad things will happen. And one thing that happens to me a lot in dreams is I'll be in part of that house as part of it is collapsing. The ceiling is coming down. Or I'm in a stairwell that's starting to fall and I need to leap. Or the one that's really unusual and weird is one where it feels like either the house is getting smaller or I'm getting bigger and I'm getting trapped in these tiny closed enclosed spaces, and I have to get to the door before the space stops being an enclosed space and starts, you know, just, but there is. There's something about it. It's just eternal. I mean, I have always had dreams of this place, and it changes because it always changes. It's ever changing. But it's something where if I'm in a dream and I realize that I'm about to open a door or go down a set of stairs, and I realize, and the conscious portion of my mind just always, you know, quotes Commander Data at the point that the Enterprise starts to fall down towards the planet. It's a moment where my heart sinks and my stomach turns into a rock, and I realize it's the house again. And I know that it's going to be bad. And sometimes you'll be in a dream and your brain will be like, okay, it's okay. You're sleeping. You're in a dream. But then the rest of you is like, that doesn't help me. I am in the house again. Thankfully, the girl from number two does not live in the house.
Oh, that would be rough.
Yeah, that would be terrible. But I mean, it literally is.
But her mom does.
One of the scariest things ever in dreams is just that moment of realization where I'm in the house again, and I'm needing to go upstairs, or I'm needing to find a room, or I'm needing to go into the basement. God help you if you ever need to go into the basement. Because there are some creepy buildings in the world. And there are some creepy buildings at Fort Hayes where you have to go down in the basement. At one point, I lived in a dormitory where there was an abandoned building not far away that was exactly the same building. So you would go in there and there were little storage. We just use it for storage and junk. But it was like going into the apocalypse, because it was my home, only abandoned and falling apart and crumbling and just terrible. Like the end of the world had happened, and this is where I live, but this is also the end of the world. It's exactly that feeling, except so much worse. And the worst part of it all is by talking about it, I have literally almost guaranteed that tonight I'm going to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I have expect my drive a car over a bridge with my dead children while trying to run away in a giant brontosaurus and zombies and Newt Rockne are after me.
Yeah.
And the only
not
thing
Newt Rockne
is that hopefully Newt Rockne will eat the brontosaurus.
Come here, you kids.
Come here. That's the only good part about it is somehow having the realization that it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
It helps a little bit. And also, you know, something that we've talked about before, although not for a couple of years, is I sleep with an oxygen regulator, a CPAP machine. And one of the side effects of having the CPAP machine is, well, one of the best side effects is I'm not dying every 12 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But also, my dreams are incredibly vivid and longer and much, much easier to recall. For days.
Yay.
So you think I was depressed this summer when the fake girl dumped me. Just imagine when this all turns around and I'm trying to take pee and there are 8 rattlesnakes in the bathroom.
All right, Rodrigo. Time to top this one.
All right. So
myself in a blanket first.
My number one actually needs some bookends, so I need to tell a story.
Okay.
When I was a freshman in college, a lot of my nightmares happen when my sleep schedule is interrupted in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I wake up for some reason and then I go back to sleep, a lot of the time after I go back to sleep, I'll have a nightmare.
Right.
Or if I've been up for way too long and then I go to sleep, then I'll have a nightmare. They woke us up super early to sign up for rooms for next year. Those of us that wanted to stay in the same dorm got to basically bid for our rooms, depending on what we had done around the dorm, you know, point, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so sure.
That all got done. I went back, both my roommate and I like stumbled back to the room, like, I got on the top bunk. He got on the bottom. We both went right back to sleep. All right. So I start having this dream. And in this dream, I'm in my dorm room. And I'm just like, it's like a Saturday or something. I'm not doing anything. But I have this weird feeling that there's something outside of my room. And I kind of don't want to deal with it. So I keep just like putzing around mm-hmm. in my room and not doing anything. And finally, it gets to the point where I have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my stuff together, I get dressed or whatever, and I go to leave my room. I open the door, and there I am.
Ah.
I am looking at myself, and he is looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I freaked out.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Now, here's the best thing about this. I start freaking out, but I am so tired. I am so intensely tired from A, being a college student, and B, having been woken up early, that I can't wake up right away. So eventually, my roommate wakes me up, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, yeah, I just had this dream where this happened. And he's like, "Wow, that is really freaky." And then he's like, "So I was having this dream where I bought this CD and then I realized that I didn't want it. So I went to like Best Buy and I went to turn it back in. I hand it to the guy. The guy looks at it and starts going, "Mama, mama, mama." And then he woke up because that was me. That was the noise I was making.
God.
So he got up and he woke me up because I was like, so that is my number one, probably the scariest dream. Really, my number two is probably the scariest dream I ever had. But like I said, this one actually is a slightly better story because then my roommate got to make fun of me.
Yeah. You invaded his dream.
Do you think if you would have been a more not overly tired state of mind, you would have went on like a great adventure with yourself?
Or was your other self evil and wanting to kill you?
I mean, it goes back to that. Like, I had a dream once when I was where I was certain that the devil was somewhere in my house, and when I saw it, it looked like a little paper mache puppet, which is in itself creepy. But thinking back on it, like, it wasn't a particularly creepy looking devil. Even it was like a dumb little paper mache puppet. So there's something about having that dream and being in that mindset that makes something very sinister. And that's what it was. That was what looking right at me felt like. It felt like there was something that was like fundamentally wrong with the universe.
Scary.
Yeah. Juan Rodrigo is clearly enough.
Yes. I don't think I've ever had a dream where I've met myself like that.
You might now, because I hadn't had that dream until somebody mentioned it.
I wonder what I'm going to do. I don't ever want to scream, try to punch myself, or sit down and have a conversation.
Throw yourself in, onto the path of a rampaging werewolf.
Brontosaurus. A werewolf brontosaurus.
Yeah.
All hairy and running around. Zach, what is your number one? It's all down to you, man.
We really should have rethought this order. The most scared I can ever remember being in a dream was when I was in the third grade, and I had just completed reading Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the second volume in the Harry Potter series. And in Harry Potter, there's a giant snake who turns people to stone. It's called a basilisk.
Yes.
Right. So in my dream, I'm not really sure if I'm at Hogwarts, but I am in some old building made out of stone. And I see, I'm walking down the hallway, and I see my sister down the hallway. She's 3 years younger than me, so she's little. And she starts coming towards me. But then as she's walking towards me, she slowly changes into a giant basilisk snake. And then comes towards me and looks at me and turns me into stone. And then I woke up. That was really scary to me. That freaked me out for a long time.
I'll bet.
And did you have to chase your sister down and make sure that she wasn't she who shall not be named?
No, no.
His first mistake.
I never had any ill feelings toward her.
Turns out Zach's sister is the eighth Horcrux.
Zach always wears his hair down. You can't see what's underneath his hair.
Yeah. You gotta cover up your identity. So that's my worst nightmare. Probably should have rethought this word.
That's all right. What's scary to you may not be scary to other people.
Right. Sure. But what's scary to me is apparently scary to everyone.
Yep.
And I think probably because there's themes or people have had these same experiences or type of dreams before.
Plus, there is really nothing scarier than looking around and seeing Rodrigo.
Yeah. I mean, you could just have that same dream, right?
It's not like Rodrigo shows up.
It's not you see yourself. You open the door and there's Rodrigo.
Or I look in a mirror and there's Rodrigo.
Hey, guys.
Oh, gosh. All right, everybody. We have given you our top five nightmares.
Nightmares.
Now it comes down to you. Head over to MajorSpoilers.com. Use the comment section and tell us your five worst nightmares.
I will point out that Major Spoilers terms and conditions still apply, so if you have like a very graphic dream, you might want to just
censor it a little bit. Yes. We don't have to hear about whatever, you know, in gory detail or explicit detail.
Or you could just go back in the comments and tell us how crazy we all are due to our dreams.
Analyze our dreams.
Yeah.
Don't analyze.
Don't give people ideas to we said that.
Oh, that was
said
it.
But by now they're so engrossed they've forgotten about that. Until Zach reminds
me. I would love to people to interpret my dreams for me.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Do you have a Harry Potter complex?
No, not necessarily. I like Harry Potter.
I'm not sure. But Potter complex.
Pretty much known with Harry Potter since the last movie came out.
Zach used to live under the stairs.
Where there were snakes.
His sister's a basilisk.
Yep. He has to tickle the nose to turn the light on. That sounds something very Harry Potter-ish.
Sure, yeah.
Nobody likes him.
And,
Nobody likes him. His parents hate him.
Yep. And, apparently...
He dated a girl named Cho. Nobody liked her.
Nope.
I think everybody liked Cho.
Yeah, I like Cho.
I like Cho.
I like Margaret Cho.
Yeah. And surprisingly, he gets his mail delivered by owl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's a special thing. The post office comes 4 days late, but that's normal, so whatever.
I get all my bills and some pellets.
Owl pellets. Yeah. Ooh, gross. Okay. I think by the time we get ready for our next episode of Top 5, it will be on or around Halloween, within a week or so of Halloween. Last year, we did our Top 5 Halloween candies. Mm-hmm. This year, I think we shall do our Top 5 scary monsters. Ooh. On the next Top 5. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
We like to scare.
If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas for future shows, or would like to sponsor a show, send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Visit majorspoilers@majorspoilers.com and be sure to check out the Major Spoilers Forum. You can also follow Major Spoilers on Twitter at twitter.com/majorspoilers.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging? Cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.